The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another amazing Geek Vibes Live interview. I'm your host, Tia, and I have with me the amazing Don Jeans today. And we're talking all about the really hilarious, fun web series called Superhero Diaries, which, you know, as Geek Vibes Nation, really just touches upon the cornerstone of what we are. But Don, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Tia, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, it's no problem at all. It was really cool when we were first presented the reporting on Superhero Diaries. I thought it was a really fun concept because obviously we have the Marvel movies and the DC movies, and they are fun, but a lot of them are super intense. And so when you have, say, a web series like this, you can just enjoy it, and you play probably one of the most recognizable characters on the planet. You play Batman. So first of all, I have to ask before we jump into anything else, growing up, were you a Batman fan or a Superman fan?
Okay, I'm gonna throw a curveball out here. I was a Wolverine fan.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah. So my mom was a teacher for over 30 years. She was a track coach and then a seventh and eighth grade science teacher. She wanted to do anything to get us to read, just anything. And she was like, look, I'll buy you comic books, guys. What do you like? And I think at that time, X-Men was really big. And then we saw Wolverine. But I mean, of course, just because Wolverine is the coolest looking of the X-Men for a little kid. I mean, he's got all the muscles and he's ripped and knives come out of his hands. And so we were like, yeah, buy us all the Wolverine comic books. And so we started reading the actual like comic books of Wolverine. And I thought he was the coolest guy in the world. And as far as Batman goes, I love playing Batman. I never thought that I would get a chance to play Batman. Scott Zachary and I have go way back, and we actually did a series called Model Ball. He did that. I had a little part in that, and he did the upstairs girls, and I was in the downstairs guys. We were like a comic relief for these, I'll just say, very attractive women who were doing this other webisode. We were just like, yeah, the silly dudes upstairs or downstairs. And I kind of faded out. We did a few more things together. But then he just called me. He said, dude, I got this thing. What are you doing? And I said, nothing right now because it was COVID. Mm-hmm. He said, do you think you film a voiceover for me? And I said, yeah. He said, how's an hour? And I was like, what? And I was hiking at the time. He said, yeah, can you get home? We need you to film. We need you to record this. And that's how it started.
That's so cool when that happens and they work out like that. And so, you know, you're now playing Batman in this little web series, and it's really kind of hilarious because you're playing Batman as he's dealing with women issues with Catwoman. So, I mean, kind of walk me through that.
Yeah, that's the really fun thing about this parody, you know. And I will say I was a slightly skeptical with another parody of superheroes on the internet, and you've seen a lot of them. And the one thing that I feel that sets us apart is the production value, the consistency, and you have multiple well-trained improv artists, and I think that's what we bring to it. And it's really fun. I kind of, and I'll give, maybe I'm giving a little bit too much away. I kind of play Batman as Ron Burgundy from Anchorman.
Oh my God. Now having watched that and known it, I feel like I can see it.
Yeah. So, but I mean, he's a little bit me. I mean, there's probably a little bit more psychology in the character. I mean, not like I'm smart psychology, but like psychology talk from him in the character. But that's it. Cause I mean, I'm not as well versed, and there's no way I'm going to keep up with a lot of these guys who are so well versed in comic books and superheroes. So what I have to fall back on is my improv skills and some of that comedy, as we relate to human beings. That's something I do well, is interact emotionally with other human beings, being an actor. So, that's really fun. And, the back and forth, Scott has sourced some really great improv or artists. So that's why we go a little bit more into the emotional life of the characters. But again, like you were saying, that's what's fun about it is it's not so intense fighting in action. And this season, which is really exciting, you will see some stunt performers, you will see some action and some fights. But there is going to be still a lot of that comedy there, with Patrick Bristow and Phil Lamar, you know, coming in. So you're still going to get those big powerhouse, improvists and comedians, and the rest of the cast is really good as well. But, that's about that, the human interaction in it. That's where we're coming from.
And I obviously want to ask you about working with Phil Lamar, but before I do that, as someone who obviously I feel as if I know what improv is, but for those of us who maybe aren't trained in improv and don't really know the workings of it. So, I mean, did you have a script at all? Were you completely just going off of what you were feeling in the moment? I mean, how does that work?
Sure. So the first couple of episodes we did do scripted. What it was is I get the script maybe like a day before or a few hours day prior, and I would put it on a teleprompter on my computer. So when you see me typing on my computer, what I'm doing is I'm telepromptering the script up as I read it and act it out. But what we found out is you miss a little bit of those moments. So we started adding in a few riffs, you know, with the teleprompter and stuff like that. And what happened is we started just going, because those little moments are very nice, we started adding in more and more improv. And then Scott just started storyboarding. Everything is storyboarded. Everything is storyboarded in Scott's head. And I trust his vision so much. But now it is mostly bullet points. And the difference is from improv is they usually take 2 to 3 scenarios from the crowd. They'll say, okay, who am I? Who is she? And what's the situation? What's the scenario? So in this, since there's a storyboard, kind of like, the guy who wrote Seinfeld, what is that guy who has his own show now? It's very similar to that. Anyway, there's a storyboard. We know where we're going, and there's about 10 bullet points that we want to hit along the way. That's the difficult part about this. I love improv. It's like a vacation for me because, you know, everything I do is with scripted lines. So when I get to go on camera and just improv, I'm playing, I'm having a blast. But the hard part is remembering to hit all of those points so we can get to the next scene and drive that scene forward. But for improv, it's yes anding. And that's the hard part. Within that story, we have to remember to yes and. So you say something, I agree that that's true. In an improv world, everything you say is always true. Because if I say it's not true or it doesn't make sense, then the improv stops. There's nowhere to go. So to make sure it's true, I say, yes, that's true. And then I come up with something even more ridiculous. And I've always found that the funniest things don't hit you in the front of your brain. They come around the side and they tickle the back of your brain. And that's what I try to do with this character.
That's really awesome. Thank you for...
If that makes any sense at all.
No, it does. Yeah. No, it does so completely. Thank you so much for going through that. Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, as you're saying, what, say, the differences between maybe, you know, true improv and then what you're doing right now, having to hit the notes, because there is a story going on. And I have to say, as I was watching it, and I don't want to spoil too much for those who haven't seen the episode, but... I felt quite bad for Batman, just because, and I'm a huge Captain America fan, But Captain America was in this realm was kind of being a bit of a douchebag. So, I mean, did you know that that was, say, on the other side of the story as you were going, or you were just maybe doing your scenes and knowing that there was another side to the story going on in the same episode?
Well, we had filmed... That's a very good question, because it could have been written that Captain America, although he is with Catwoman after we broke up, could be nice about it and is like very empathetic, and that would also be funny. But I kind of had an inkling that they wrote him as kind of my nemesis into the thing as the day went on and things were explained, because of course we shot out of order. We never shot in order for each scene. So that scene that I'll just say was at the end of a day, probably filmed at 8 o'clock at night. So we had shot several things that day, and it had been peppered in there that Captain America and I were at odds. But that is very good to hear, because that means I'm doing my job and showing some vulnerability and taking you along for the ride and getting you invested in the story.
And feeling bad for Batman.
Yeah.
And so going back, of course, I have to ask, I mean, how was it getting to work alongside Phil LaMarr?
Oh, it was a dream come true. I have admired that guy since Mad TV, not to mention Pulp Fiction goodness. And he's just he was really, and I'm not just blowing smoke here. He was a genuinely nice guy. Cause I just said, hey man, you're really great. And he said, oh, that's really kind of you. Thank you so much. I'm really nice. And I thought, you know, I was freaking out a little bit because I get to do a full improv scene with Phil, and he was cool. He didn't, you know, railroad me or anything. We gave each other our time to get our scenes and hit our points and everything. He was just a really nice guy and genuinely cool. Just a cool dude, man. He's a really cool dude.
Yeah, I mean, it was really exciting getting the news that he was kind of suiting up as Green Lantern, because for those of us who kind of grew up on the cartoon Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, it was super cool that, you know, he voiced Green Lantern. Now he's getting to physically play him. So it's really cool what this web series is doing in that, and also bringing Marvel and DC characters together. So, I mean, what can we expect moving forward? I mean, are we going to see more of what's going on in Batman's life? I mean, what's going on for the rest of the season of Superhero Diaries?
Oh yeah, I will say to expect the rivalry to kick up a notch, not just between Batman and Captain America, but between DC and Marvel. Oh yes, oh yes, the two universes will collide. It's what you've always wanted to see, and it's happening right here at Superhero Diaries. So you're really going to want to stay tuned.
That's so awesome. And I have to ask, I know that before you were saying how much of a fan of Wolverine you are, but let's just say, you know, Marvel Studios or Warner Brothers gave you a call. I mean, what hero would you choose to play, you know, on the big screen?
Oh, man. Oh gosh, Hugh Jackman, I couldn't even. Hugh Jackman has done such a wonderful job with Wolverine. I watched Logan again the other night and I was like,
such a great movie.
What a mensch this man. He was brilliant. He was perfect. So I honestly don't know. I mean, Ryan Reynolds has taken Deadpool and the other Green Lantern, and I mean, the new Superman, he is just, the look is so spot on. And Batman, I mean, how many movies can we make? Spider-Man, I'm past my prime, will not even go there. So I don't know. I guess maybe, have they done Beast yet? Have they done Beast? Has that even been done?
I mean, they did it, say, in the Fox Marvel movies, but now that Marvel owns Fox, and we're obviously going to probably get recasts and everything, so I think that you could definitely be in the running for that.
See, maybe they need a beast, because I, you know, I could be a little nerdy kind of science. I'll gain a little weight, and then the rest is CGI. They'll just put my face in there. So that's what I'm going with. I'm going with Beast.
Nice. You know, yes. That's a great, he's a great character too, by the way. So that would be awesome. Don, you know, before I, oh yes, Kelsey Grammer played Beast in the original X-Men movies, and he did a fantastic job. And you know, all you need to do is grow out the facial hair, and they can put a bunch of blue on you, and you'd be great.
True, but Kelsey Grammer is so good. I don't know now if I want to be compared to him. It's a little intimidating.
Don't doubt.
Maybe they need a revamp. They need a revamp. They need a revamp. That's I give it a shot.
Nice. Awesome. You know, Don, before I let you go today, you know, besides Superhero Diaries, I always like to give those who I'm interviewing a chance to kind of promote any other projects that they have going on that you're super excited about and you want people to kind of tune in for.
That is very kind of you. Thank you so much. Released recently is The Stranger She Brought Home on Lifetime. It is a large departure from comical Batman. I play the very inappropriate boss of the main character who supervises a 911 station. It's a suspense thriller there. You can get it if you have Hulu Live, or if you just have cable, you can watch it on Lifetime. Also coming out at the end of this year is a feature film called One Hand Clapping. We're going to release it in a few small theaters here in Texas, and then see how it does to maybe get a larger release. It is a family drama that has a metaphysical existential twist at the end, and I play the lead in that. Also, there's going to be a few commercials coming out. One I'm kind of excited about. I got to play Paul Revere in a Domino's commercial. You won't be able to recognize me, but I'm going to be riding up on people on a horse, screaming at them in an old English accent. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So look out for that one too.
Were you actually on a horse, or did they CGI that? Because I never know what they do now with, say, live animals in certain projects.
No. Speaking of my cousin who we talked about earlier, I did come from a ranching family, so I rode a few bulls and ride horses, and so I mounted up. We were supposed to do a rearing, but the lady told me that that didn't work out. So I got on the horse, and they would say go, and I'd run that thing right up to them with a lantern.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Everyone, please make sure that you check that out. You can check out Don as Batman. I mean, who doesn't love Batman? As he said, we've had a ton of Batmen, and you get to be added to the long line of great guys who have taken up the cowl. You can find Superhero Diaries on YouTube. We will post the links down in the YouTube description, as well as on our social medias, Geek Vibes Nation, so that you can check it out. It's a lot of fun. If you're looking to laugh in the middle of this crazy pandemic that we've been in for the past like year and a half, you're definitely going to want to check out Superhero Diaries. Again, Don, thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, speak with me, and I look forward to the upcoming episodes.
Thank you so much for having me on. You've been wonderful, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for the promotion of Superhero Diaries. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course, no problem. And until next time, everyone, I will see you later. Bye.